talked to some callers about, well, COVID vaccines for the 0 to 5 year olds and what people should be doing about that. We talked to someone who owns the actual motorcycle from Johnny Depp's movie Crybaby. And we're not quite done with that building from the 20s that Adam did earthquake rehab on. Right after this.
Hey everyone, you might remember me from Teen Mom 2, but my 15 minutes is almost up. So I'm back with another podcast. I'm your barely famous host, Kale Lowry, and I'm catching up with people from my past, putting my exes on the hot seat, and chatting with TikTokers, influencers, and other reality stars. Get weird with me every Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast One, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on, got to get on. Dr. Drew's board for certification. Looking at that building, which is 520 Mariposa, right?
Yeah. We were talking about it from the end of last show. We can't get this out of our heads. That's actually a nice looking building. You know, it's not that bad.
Look, they would make the facades of them look halfway decent. It's just once you got inside of the building, you had a very small.
But I'm imagining
one unit, whatever.
I'm imagining these were built for all the people that were pouring into Los Angeles to be part of central casting.
Yeah, I wonder if anyone got a picture of the side of it. Probably not.
I gave you all the pictures.
Oh, okay. Well,
but this people.
Who
this
did
was
we send down to take those pictures?
Gabe.
Oh yeah, Gabe. I'm glad he got three pictures of the front of the building, but I'm saying probably should have walked along and got a little profile action going on it too.
Yeah.
But anyway. It's always a part of life that kind of vexes me when you go here, do this with a digital thing, and then they come back with four pictures. And you're like, why not 28 pictures? You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
You drove all the way across town, yes. And you're there. Wait, what are our pictures? We got the front of the place from across the street.
Well, we got four pictures. Okay.
I got four pictures.
I got the facade, more detail.
Right. I got another picture of the front.
Better lighting.
And then another picture of the front.
So I think that first picture that I showed up that's not in this window you're looking at, the first one, I think I pulled that off Google Street View.
Because there's a different car part.
The ones we're looking at are the ones Gabe fired up when he was past, when he went there.
What is that down
there? I would have preferred if Gabe took a few more pictures. Like, I just want to see the side of it so you can see the brick and how far it went down. But anyway. What are you asking, Drew?
What's this Longines? What is that?
They rebranded
it. I think that's the name of the building.
If you see
it in this photo, it's right there at the bottom. He just, for some reason, did a weird thing where he went to the left or right edge of the building. He says, you look at this,
yes.
And then kind of took a weird, like, low-level shot.
But it's a nice facade. And you know, there are so many other buildings in that area.
There's a million of them, the same capacity. Now, I don't know if you can figure out what year that thing was built or some of those.
Look it up as Longines as a name. Year Longines was built.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know. But listen, you're going to get some sort of race car timing device when you ask about it.
Longines. Yeah. They make watches.
That's right.
Watches.
So there was also a movement to build these sort of duplexy, not even duplexy, but bi-level, tri-level sort of adobe structures in that area too, right? With sort of rounded arches in the rooms.
I'm not sure about that area.
Is that not that? Well, there's a lot of that stuff in Los Angeles anyway, correct?
Yeah. This is off of Western and I don't know.
But my point is there's probably hundreds of thousands of units in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And they were built for the working class at that time, right?
Well,
coming here to be in central casting, and people come from all over the country to, you know, throw their hat in the ring, and then they'd end up working at retail and whatever, and this is where they live.
Yeah, there's a lot of aircraft manufacturing and things like that.
Would they live down in the middle like that, in the middle of Los Angeles?
They had streetcars and stuff. I mean, they had ways of public transportation. I don't know. My point is this. If you have a group of poor people who are motivated to work, then there is a solution for housing. Mm. If you have a bunch of junkies who want to slam drugs and not work and who flood here from other parts of the country to hang out and slam drugs and not be bothered, then there is no housing solution that works for that.
Right.
So there's a solution. You know, if you're a student and you're struggling and you're not making your marks, there is a path to being tutored and staying after school and having a teacher volunteer to help you with your studies or whatever. There's a version of that. If you want to cut school and get high, there's no pathway for that.
Right.
And so what we do in this, built in 1928.
There you go.
Yeah, said in the 20s. If thank you, Gary. So for whatever it is, whether you're on drugs or whether you're trying to get off or you want to help your lot in life or whatever, there is a kind of social remedy for it. But that requires your participation. If you don't want to participate, you know, we can go, look, we will give you food stamp and welfare and we'll give it to you to, you know, bridge this tough patch you're going through. We'll get you through a few months with that. Meanwhile, you're looking for a job and blah, 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 or getting some vocational training or something. That'll work fine for that. And people always use it that way. You know, it's like my mom was out of a job after her dad divorced and she got by with the, you know, welfare and it helped her. It's like, yeah, provided, but she was looking for a job.
She's moving forward.
Right.
Well,
right.
I've said this for some time.
This housing works for people who want to leave and work in the morning. If you want to hang around and do drugs, then there is no amount of housing.
I've said this for a long time. We have how many undocumented immigrants in this city? 800,000? 2 million?
Yeah.
Let's just say – let's say.
Well, we can't count.
We can't count. Let's say 500,000 just for the sake of argument. So they come here without a family, without a friend, without money, without a job. They're here not documented. No passport, none of them on the streets. Well, none of them on the streets. They find the housing and they make it work.
I'll help and hurt your point.
All right.
Not without a family. Usually with some family members here that they can connect with.
Or the community maybe. I suppose a community.
There's family sometimes where they can just sort of crash on an inflatable mattress while looking for work, and while going out and doing work. Yes, of course. Yes. They have wherewithal to do that. They don't have wherewithal. They have the moxie,
the motivation.
Yes, and if they don't, then they're out in the street. Like
which doesn't really happen.
No,
if you don't have unless you're taking drugs.
Right.
I said this to a friend of mine the other day, and he goes, "Well, I hate to say, I met some undocumented workers on the street. Not on drugs. No,
Right.
None of them drug addicts.
All right, okay. We got some questions here. I'll start down on 4. John, 36, Idaho.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, I just had a question. I have small children and between 0 and 5, and I'm really, really struggling to understand the purpose for the push behind the injections and all of that. I've had COVID twice now, so is my wife. I'm sure they both have. We haven't tested them because who cares? They were fine, so are we. It doesn't really affect me other than the pressure campaign and kind of propaganda seem to be relentless on it with the small children.
I'm
struggling to find it.
I just heard Biden talking about it like yesterday. Like now we got to get those.
It was like great news. We can save children. Now, I am so confused by this.
Is clamoring for this? There's none. I've spoken none.
First off, no other country's doing this.
No other country's doing this. 75% of children have the antibodies. Please follow Vinay Prasad, who looks at the literature that the CDC was using, and it is – to say it is slim is to give them – is to put your finger on the scale. The terrible data they're using. It makes it look like they're just responding to the drug company's desire to make more money. It just looks like that. I don't believe that necessarily, but it makes you think that.
I
don't understand it. I don't understand it. Listen, if you want to make the decision with your pediatrician, I'm all for it. But this mandate and push, I'm confused. I don't get. I'm worried that I'm missing something.
Well, you and I are the same way. And Gary, maybe you can find Biden from his speech, I don't know, yesterday or the day before. But he was like,
the one that's real,
second wave is coming.
Second pandemic.
Oh, yeah,
another pandemic.
Yeah, we need to spend more money.
Find that for sure.
Yeah, that's easy.
At some point, he's excited about being able to get kids vaccinated. Yeah. So you and I are always of the same head, which is, these aren't evil people, so what the fuck is going on?
What is going on?
But at a certain point, you're like, maybe they're evil?
I don't know. I just don't. Are they delusional? I just am so confused. And so I rely on a guy named Vinay Prasad. He's on Twitter. You can follow him there, V-I-N-A-Y-P-R-A-S-A-D. And I used to follow his podcast called Plenary Sessions because he evaluated oncological literature. It's a great, brilliant dude, oncologist that reads medical literature with great ability. And he has been just assailing these decisions as just absolutely non-scientific. And I think he's right. And frankly, there's a lot of non-scientific stuff going on right now. And I've said before, I mean, some of medicine is an improvisation, and I get that, and you got to make decisions. And the availability of the vaccine, fine. Make it available, but to then mandate and push and why?
I don't think most people are listening. I don't think most people are getting – Americans are getting their young kids vaccinated.
This is not a vaccine with no risk. Let's be really clear. This vaccine's got some problems, and it's a tough decision. Here's my basic position. We know what we're doing with the vaccines and the antivirals over the age of 70, conservatively, maybe 75. We know what we're doing. They should be boosted. They get the Paxlovid. We have data. It's for sure a good thing. It's worth the risk. Under that age, it gets goofy. Should a 6-year-old who's been vaccinated take Paxlovid? There's no data for that. Well, if somebody's getting really sick, I'm going to do it, but I don't have science for that. Should a 40-year-old be vaccinated now? And they have the science is not there. And so then to go down to 15 and now 5, woo, that is a reach, man. I don't know. I just am very confused.
All right, we'll play Joe.
We do need more money, but we don't just need more money for vaccines for children eventually. We need more money to plan for the second pandemic. There's going to be another pandemic. We have to think ahead. And that's not something the last outfit did very well. That's something we've been doing for fairly well. That's why we need the money.
When he says fairly well, that means horribly. Normally he says they've knocked it out of the ballpark.
Well, he doesn't want to say it because if another epidemic hits, then they're not going to do well for sure. So what do we do?
All right. So he needs more money to vaccinate the kids.
John, I feel terrible for him. And of course,
well,
the kids
don't do it. Don't do it. It's a mistake.
Maybe get the antibodies tested in your kids, I guess.
I don't know. I just wouldn't do it. We were forced to some degree to take it because we're told we're not allowed to get on an airplane or go into a restaurant or whatever. Yeah. Vax cards.
Passports.
Passports and all this shit.
I can give you some boots on the ground info from someone like John. My pediatrician is advising against it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I think the general take on it, I think it's under or around, I don't know, you know, vaccinations of kids under 6 or 5 or whatever, it's less than 30%.
Yeah.
I think most people aren't coming around to this.
I mean, I wasn't going to do it anyways, but I asked her kind of out of curiosity of what she'd say just to get a sense of, you know, how she rolls. And that was her answer. And I said, well, what are your colleagues doing? And she kind of gave me a face that said, none of my colleagues are.
And your wife's cool with all that?
Yeah.
All right, good. And I just still so worried about what we've done to people. There's still people so preoccupied with I've ran into lately with this fucking virus. It's like, oh my God, what have we done to people? What have we done? It's really incredible. How about that guy in Canada?
They did it to themselves.
How about the guy in Canada taking the pictures of the poor United flight attendant who wasn't wearing a mask? Did you see that whole story?
No.
Oh my God. some Canadian, I think he's an MP or something, like, hey, United Airlines, it's a law in Canada to wear a mask on an aircraft. Here's a picture of your flight attendant. I had a little conversation. I had a friendly conversation with her afterwards.
Ugh.
I mean, it makes you want to punch the guy, doesn't it?
It really does. The amount of energy I expend with people and their fucking horrible ideas that they're wrong about is gone from, you know, single digits to, you know, high 40s in my adult life. Everyone with their fucked ideas about how things work and what things mean and what's good and what doesn't work.
What's up, Gary?
Toxins.
Our own Chris Loxamana just went on a 2-week Italian honeymoon.
Yeah.
He took off from Los Angeles, no mask, all good. 5-hour layover in Canada. You had to be masked up the whole time.
Yeah, I was on Emirates airline and they required it. And I felt mostly bad for the flight attendants because, you know, they already had them so suited up like they came out of a prom or something. I was going to say a coronation. That's what I was searching for.
All right. Let me tell you about the Jordan Harbinger Show, a different kind of sponsor for this podcast. The Jordan Harbinger Show has well, I think we're all fans of Jordan Harbinger. And if you like fascinating podcasts with interesting people, you definitely should check it out. There's an episode for everyone, no matter what you're into. Author Dan Pink joins to discuss the power of regret and how looking backward moves us. Also, you can listen to Jordan's interview with Grammy Award-winning rapper Ludacris. Oh, man, yeah, Fast and Furious. You'll always find something useful to apply to your own life, like routine changes that boost productivity or slight mindset tweaks that will change how you see the world. We enjoy the show, and I think you're going to, too. So you can search it out, Jordan Harbinger Show. That is H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R. And you can get it at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to finer podcasts. All right, quick break. Back with your calls after this. All right, Drew, let's see.
Line two.
Line two. David, Virginia Beach.
Hey, Mr. Carolla, how are you?
Hi, Guy.
Hey, Guy. And Dr. Drew.
Yes, sir.
First time I'm a big fan. I was listening yesterday. Mrs. Grad, she said about the Johnny Depp bike that's being auctioned. And yeah. I have a little bit of information about that. I know you love your motorsports, Mr. Carolla, and that's actually not the correct bike that Johnny Depp rode in the movie, the John Waters film.
Mm-hmm.
I know this because my father built the actual bike, and he's been holding on to it for 32 years. He still owns the bike. Technically, he transferred it to me. Technically, I'm the owner. But he still has the bike, and the auction that it's up... well, it may not be auctioned off very soon. It may be taken down. So there's multiple bikes. That's actually what's called a replica of the picture bike. And the actual picture bike that Johnny Depp rode is in our possession.
Well, what was the movie?
Cry Baby.
Oh, yeah.
John Waters. Yeah. Worst writer-director of all time.
John Waters is the worst. Pink Flamingo? Is that him?
Yeah, he's the
Hairspray.
Worst. He's the worst.
Did you see the documentary about him? Or it's actually a documentary about Divine.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
He's horrible. Yeah. He's a horrible writer.
But isn't that his intention?
Supremely unfunny.
Isn't that sort of what he's intention?
Yeah, he's the Yoko Ono of directors
yeah.
and writers.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
We get it. You're bad. Yeah. All right, look, if you do what John Hughes does, then you do what John Hughes did.
Yeah.
But you can't, so you do what John Waters does. You go weird versus
wasn't
good.
Wasn't Waters in – he was in the whole Warhol camp, the factory. Do you know about this?
I did not know that chapter.
Check that out for me, Gary, I think. Because Warhol had this thing called the factory in New York where he just housed a bunch of misfits, artists who filmed each other and – did horrible things to each other, and eventually one of them shot Warhol.
Right.
Yeah.
So, David, how do we substantiate that your bike is the real McCoy versus the other bike?
Yeah, good question. So, well, the bike that was originally built, it's a 1953 K model Harley Davidson. It's kind of a rare thing. A few small details were very specific to that bike that my father had done. There was local media coverage of the production company coming to my father's motorcycle shop. And then on top of that, the entire movie is a documentation of the different bikes being used, because in the movie he only rides, like I said, this specific bike, the 53. The 1955 that's being auctioned off was what's considered the picture bike, and it was used for some advertisements. Like, for example, the poster. I think it was shown in the movie once or twice, but it wasn't wasn't operational at the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, hold on a second. Okay, so Drew, first things first. All this memorabilia shit is going insane, right?
Is it? Okay, yes.
Jimi Hendrix guitar, Steve McQueen's watch or jacket he wore in this, a fire suit he wore in that, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, every production will have, you know, if Steve McQueen is doing a racing thing, he'll have the hero watch, and then he'll have the backup watch, and then he'll have the stunt guy wore this watch, you know, and the fire suit. He's the hero. There's always the hero one, and then there's the one they use for publicity or whatever it is. Or the backup one, or the one they would, I don't know, block and light, and then the hero version. You know, there's a kind of hero version.
What does the hero stand for, technically?
Well, it's like, basically, if you're doing the Wizard of Oz, and, you know, Dorothy is wearing her ruby emerald slippers and, you know, walks out to catering and steps in a puddle or the heel busts off or something, you got to stop. You know what I mean? So what they'll do is they'll go,
back up.
We have three of these, three sets. You know what I mean? So then you go, we're auctioning off, you know, Darth Vader's helmet. It's like, oh, yeah, I got Darth Vader's helmet.
Yeah,
no, I have Darth Vader. No, yours was... Mine was used as the hero one. That was one used in the film. Yours was the one that was worn by the... By the stand-in for lighting,
right,
which still means it has value, but has lesser value. But now there's an argument over who the hero.
And how do you establish? They put they scratch something into the hero one.
There's you know, prop master who would be in charge of saying this is the whatever one.
Yeah.
But what David is saying is the bike that they're selling was used on the set, filmed. Are auctioning and used in promotions,
right?
Which means it has value,
yes.
But it's not as valuable as the one Johnny Depp was riding
the
on.
The hero one, yes.
Is that what you're saying, David?
Yes, sir.
All right, there we go.
Well, they thought they were estimating the thing at $250,000, right?
Just the other one.
Yeah, that's the starting bid. Yes.
Did they get a bid of $250,000?
I believe the live bidding starts. It's an online auction. There's a lot of memorabilia on there. I think it starts on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm. What is the auction house?
It's GWF.
GWF. I'll look at. Now, $250,000 sounds pretty ambitious, but we don't know anymore because all this stuff, you know, Kobe Bryant's rookie jersey just went for $2.3 million. Yes. I mean,
that's right.
People are looking to put their money anywhere but a bank.
You know why some of that is happening now? What do they call them? Rare goods? Isn't there a better name for it than that? But things that are rare have an especially high tendency to appreciate during times of inflation.
Yeah, that's where people are looking to put their money places.
Yeah.
The auction listed as screen used, so they're not trying to claim the hero.
It actually says in the listing, it says that this is a one of a kind. There is only one other bike. I think it was that it was destroyed or something like that. When in fact, the original bike, the hero bike, the bike that's being auctioned is a replica of that hero bike. That said, and there was another bike that was destroyed. It was part of a scene where they wrecked it or something like that. But there's only two bikes that look alike, and one is the hero, one's the replica.
Now that bike, minus any history, any filming, any Johnny Depp, what would that thing just be worth?
For a 53K model, it depends on how original, but you're talking completely original, minimum $30,000, maximum probably $45,000, $50,000.
What do you think that bike would be minus anything to do with the movie?
20, 25.
Wow.
The condition that it's in.
Thank you.
Crazy.
That was my first question.
Yeah, I know. He missed it.
Because what they do is all original, unrestored, came out. Yeah, that wasn't that. That was just a hacked up, whacked up Harley. Yeah.
I'm seeing him for as low as 10K.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Weird.
Thanks for the help illustrating my point. But my point is that particular unit is under $10,000 in its condition, minus the fact that Johnny Depp rode on it.
I remember the last inflationary spike.
Mm-hmm.
Carpets, rugs, wines.
Oh, yeah.
Watches.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a big thing then. And they crashed.
They did.
It all crashed on the other side of it, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's now a lot of movie stuff and sports. Huh. Kobe Bryant. I mean, all right, do your business there, Drew.
All right. Guru Nanda pulling oil, the most natural and effective way to pull and establish oral microbiome balance. That's right. It's an important thing to pay attention to, our oral microbiome. And, of course, first impressions are important. Our breath, our smile, that's what people notice. Guru Nanda, first one, America's number one pulling oil. And it doesn't just affect the oral microbiome and breath. It removes stains, but not enamel. It's simple, natural, proven. It is non-toxic, great-tasting oral wellness. Just shake that bottle, pour it into the provided measuring cap, swish 2 minutes, spit, rinse, and brush. I know a lot of people are into pulling and pulling oils, but Guru Nanda is America's number one pulling oil. Right, Gary?
That's right. The right oral care is crucial to your overall well-being. Guru Nanda is offering something special for our listeners. For a limited time, you can save $3 off each bottle purchased exclusively at Walmart. To redeem, grab your Guru Nanda pulling oil at Walmart and check out using the 51 Savings app. That's not all. Guru Nanda also likes to treat his friends, so he's giving away $500 gift cards. Just go to GuruNanda.com/win for your chance to win a $500 Walmart gift card.
All right, let's see. We got another call. Why don't we hold those calls for the next show? We will. You can go to AdamCarolla.com and find out where all the live shows are. I'll be doing stand-up everywhere. Books coming out soon. Everything Reminds Me of Something. That's out July 19th. You can go to AdamCarolla.com and pre-order it. It just helps. Right, Drew?
It does help. Go to DrDrew.com. Everything is there. Check it out.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.